Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the monthly All-EN conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. You may press the 1 followed by the 4 to register for an audio question. You may also submit your questions through the chat feature. If you need to reach the operator, simply press star 0. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, June 5th, 2014. I would now like to turn the session over to Felix Stumpf. Please begin, Mr. Stumpf.
Thank you very much, France. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Felix Stumpf. I am the Deputy Project Director with the Ticket to Work Program. And we have other colleagues of mine, colleagues with Social Security on the line, and we have actually quite a number of agenda topics that we're going to go through before we come to open the lines for any of your questions. So we do have a chat function available. There was an email that went out with a link. If you do not have it, you can simply go to gatheredplace.net, click to join, and enter 782-1333 as the code, and get in there. Any questions that come up in the chat, if we think they're, that it would benefit, we will pull those into the phone call question and answer session as well. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Gary Rao with the Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support.
Hello, this is Gary Rao. And last time that we talked, I talked about a new employment network service branch model that we were going to be going with, and I had promised to give you some greater details this time. I still am not prepared to give the extent of the detail that I want to give you. I will promise one more time it will be the next time. However, we are actually starting to make some calls. I think we've even done that today. And they're going to, we're trying to get some additional information with regard to the business model type as a follow-up to the APORs, and we're going to be asking some questions about that. But sometime by the end of this month, we are going to be actually assigning an individual from Social Security to be assigned to an EN, and we'll be contacting all ENs again with that information. So I apologize for the slight delay, but we are getting it underway. And we will be giving you more detailed information very shortly. So with that, Felix, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much, Gary. And I'm going to go, I apologize to the listeners, but we're going to go a little bit out of sequence in order to accommodate for everyone's schedule, all the speakers' schedules. So I'm going to jump down to the preparation for the launch of the new EN portal and turn the call over to Katie Strivinger.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Katie Strivinger, and I have been working very closely with our systems branch on the new EN portal that is coming out, and I wanted to give you a little more information. Last month, you got a heads up, and I just want to go over some information you might have heard before and give you a little bit more. The first thing that we wanted to stress is that the current portal does not connect to any SSA system right now, which is why a lot of things that you see are not in real time. It relies on files to get transferred from you to Maximus, and then from Maximus to SSA, and then back to Maximus in order for you to see it. The new portal is going to connect to SSA, and our systems and everything we use to process contracts, ticket assignments, and payments. So everything you do in the new portal will be real time. Some of the features you're going to see is you'll be able to do EN management functions, like be able to see all the information we have about your EN, information that would be on the website that we have about your contract. You'll be able to see that on a PDF. You'll be able to click on that and automatically know whether or not the information we have about your EN is information that you provided to us. You'll also be able to list all of the users for your EN so that you can manage the people who have access and should have access to the portal. Functions like ticket assignment, you'll be able to upload ticket assignability files directly into the portal, and you will get a quick response back whether or not something's assignable. And the information you get back will be up to date that minute. When you ask if a ticket's assignable, you will get back the correct response as if you assigned it that day, whether or not it would be assignable. You'll also be able to upload ticket assignment and unassignment files. and you'll be able to download a marketing file which you currently get on a CD. For ticket holder management, you'll be able to generate a list of all the tickets that are currently assigned to your EN and a list of tickets formerly assigned to your EN. From this list, by ticket, you can view payments, the ticket assignment history and use history, and assist with TPRs. For payments, you'll be able to see a list of all pending payments, payments that we've made, and denials with explanations. You'll be able to request a payment using the portal and fax earnings evidence to us. Now, with the new portal, and because it's going to be an SSA portal, there are going to be new security requirements that you're going to have to fulfill. The first thing is that you're going to have to register to access your own personal Social Security records online at mysSA.gov. That is the authentication we will be using. You'll also need to have a secure internet browser. We are going to give you the list of browsers that will work for the portal, and when the time gets closer, we will give you a test site that you can use to make sure that your browser is compatible. Very shortly, you will get a blast from Maximus asking you about the browser that you are currently using. And I'm just going to go through the list really quickly. You don't need to jot anything down because we will be contacting you. But browsers that will work are something like Firefox, latest Chrome version, Internet Explorer, and if you're using Windows XP, you have to use Chrome or Firefox. So these are current browsers that people should already have, but if you don't have something that matches this list, you need to let us know so we can work with you and figure out what we need to do to get everyone working in the new portal. And that is what I have for you right now. We'll have more updates for you in the next EN call.
Thanks very much, Katie. Now we're going to move on to Desiree Fitzgerald, also with ORDES, to talk about payment reminders.
Good afternoon. Actually, I just have one reminder at this time, and it involves the incorrect payment notice. The notice that you receive when there's an adjustment to payments. We've had some instances where beneficiaries have contacted us, have contacted Janice Edwards, and so it seems that that notice is sometimes being shared with beneficiaries, and we'd like to ask you not to share that notice with beneficiaries. It is a notice about your payment, and it involves us and you. And she's not an appropriate contact for them. So if you need a contact for some reason, or if you need to refer a beneficiary to SSA and you're not sure how to do so, you can contact Maximus and they'll work with us to figure out who would be the right contact. But the incorrect payment notice is the contact information on that notice, the person and the phone number, is not something that would be helpful to beneficiaries. So we just wanted to mention that. That's it.
Thanks, Desiree. And while we have you, I just wanted to there was a question that came in from one of our ENs before this call that I thought I would maybe address to you at this point, which was that it was a question about what an EN's responsibilities are when they have a beneficiary that's assigned with them, when they have a ticket holder that's kind of working a job, I guess, under the table or is working and isn't reporting the income, but the EN finds out about that. Do they have a duty or any kind of obligation to report this to SSA, or in fact, did they have any confidence with the ticket holder that they ought to be protecting? Well, what's their role in that situation?
Okay. Yes, SSA has instructions on how to handle situations where there is suspicion of fraud. But for the sake of an EN working with the beneficiary, we wouldn't want to label it in any way in particular. But we would expect the EN to report that to us as part of their responsibility as an employment network, helping beneficiaries to return to work. And beneficiaries are expected to report their earnings to the agency. So it would be within the purview of the EN to just report, knowledge that this person may be working or may have undocumented work. And then SSA will refer to our operational components, and it will go through the process. If it's a suspicion of fraud case, they would involve the OIG. But I would say that, yes, if you are aware that that is happening, it would actually, it could interfere with your ability to receive payment, even if they have a job that is causing you to get some payments. It may not be the highest payment that they could be receiving if all their work were documented. I mean, they may be working at trial work level earnings, and it could be SGA level earnings if all their work were documented or something like that. So it could even be a conflict for you as an employment network. But at any rate, yes, it would be perfectly within the realm of your contract responsibilities to let us know that someone may be working in that capacity.
Thank you very much, Desiree. And now I'm going to jump back up to near the top of the agenda and go to Sally Rhodes for kind of a quick recap of what we discussed, in case you missed it, on the community of practice call about Section 503 that took place yesterday.
Thank you, Felix. And good afternoon, everyone. I want to do a quick update on OFSM's most recent activities designed to support ENs and state VR agencies and taking advantage of the new 503 rules that took effect on March the 24th. Yesterday, as Felix mentioned, we conducted the fourth 503 Community of Practice Forum, and we'd like to thank Kevin Nickerson from the Technical Assistance Team at the National Disability Institute for an excellent presentation and facilitated discussion on using American Job Centers to support ticket holders, REN's engaging with AJCs. Kevin went over the resources and services available at AJCs that are available to all job seekers, including those with disabilities. And those resources include, but are not limited to, workshops, training funds available based on eligibility, a state labor exchange database that electronically matches employers with job seekers, on-the-job training funds, and labor market information. Kevin also provided tips on how to develop relationships with your local AJCs. He noted the importance of getting to know the staff there, particularly the business services representative or team who function as the single points of contact for employers. The business service representatives are also often involved in planning events such as job fairs and seminars on things like Section 503 for federal contractors. Your EN might consider offering to do something like providing a workshop at one of these events as a way of initiating a partnership with the AJC and as a means of getting the word out on the Ticket to Work program and the services EN's offered. There was some significant discussion about the fact that federal contractors are not getting a lot of information about the ticket program and EN's as a resource for referrals. Kevin acknowledged that some of these business service representatives may not be aware of the ticket program, and you might want to be armed with a 5-minute elevator speech about the ticket program and how you EANs are uniquely situated to assist beneficiaries to achieve long-term employment support. You might also want to consider setting up appointments to take a group of your ticket holders to a local AJC for an orientation on the services offered there. Kevin also provided a brief history on the Department of Labor's Employment Initiative, Disability Employment Initiative funding over the last 4 years, and announced the hot-off-the-press news that DOL is in the process of developing a new announcement for a fifth round of DEI grants. And he talked briefly about the National Labor Exchange and how EANs might use this information in working with beneficiaries. Kevin also discussed the System for Awards Management, or SAM, which all of you should be familiar with, because it is where you have to register your organization to receive federal funding. As a result, SAM has information on all the organizations that receive federal funding. So if you wanted to visit SAM.gov, Kevin talked about the importance of checking the active registrants checkbox so that you can limit your search to current federal contractors, and using the advanced search function so you can narrow your search for specific things like state, city, type of entity. And SAM is at https://www.sam.gov. During the presentation, Kevin posed a number of questions to get participants in the call engaged in the conversation. He asked if participating EANs were registering their ticket holders with local AJCs. That generated quite a bit of discussion about how to register people and get their resumes into the Labor Exchange database, how this database is used by employers, and whether or not there are any statistics on how successful these databases are in getting registrants into the workforce. When participants raise concern about making referrals to AJCs that are functioning as employment networks and working with common customers, Kevin offered a number of suggestions on how to establish partnerships with AJCs that are EINs. He noted the importance of understanding the history of the American Job Centers and serving customers with disabilities, and of creating a shared vision of an alliance that draws upon the collective skills and resources of both the AJC and the EIN. He talked about the fact that sometimes creating a shared vision could be done best through developing a written agreement that spells out a process for making referrals between the two organizations, as well as any expectations regarding revenue sharing and the timing of ticket assignments and unassignments. Needless to say, this led to an exchange of ideas about ways to split ticket payments when partnering with an AJC that's an EIN. For example, Adelante in New Mexico has an agreement with their workforce agency to alternate ticket assignments when referring and working with shared customers. Felix was asked at that point to explain the OXIM's process for determining split payments when two EINs are working with the same beneficiary at different points in time. I think the really big takeaway from this part of the discussion was that there's lots of approaches to partnering with an AJC and sharing revenue received under the ticket program. EINs were strongly encouraged to work together, to develop a partnership and then focus first and foremost on meeting the needs of beneficiaries seeking assistance under the ticket program. And I really want to stress that if everybody focuses on the needs of the beneficiary, everything else, I think, falls into place and works out well. I encourage you to visit the Ticket to Work website, www.yourtickettowork.com, to access the PowerPoint from yesterday's presentation, the audio recording, and the transcript of the call. All this information will be posted once it's all available, probably early next week. It'll be in the Information Center. You click on Section 503, and then on the 503 Readiness Training, and the 503 page, COP page, will come up. I also encourage you to join us next month for the 503 Forum, which is scheduled for July the 9th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Please note we've now extended these forums to 90 minutes because the discussions have been so great. The topic for the fourth 503 COP is Effective Ways for EINs to Realize Section 503 Opportunities. This forum will feature a conversational format with the audience and EIN peers talking for 15 to 20 minutes on two or three effective practice topics, the first topic being Disability Disclosure and Self-Identification Part 2. At this time, EIN peers will discuss strategies and practical tips for approaching the disability self-identification and reasonable accommodation conversation with beneficiaries, talking both about the rules for Section 503 and the ADA. And this will also include information on how to ensure that informed choice for beneficiaries is available when they're deciding when and if to disclose a disability. The second topic that's been identified for July is EIN Capacity Building Part 2, which will address how to successfully use online resume posting job match sites and strategies for locating and sharing information on qualified ticket holders who are available to fill job openings. Third topic has been identified, but we haven't gotten confirmation from all the presenters, so I'm not going to talk about that now. I encourage you to be looking for the announcement that will come out early in July. And one final thing I want to note is that we have just posted three new 503 resources to the Ticket to Work website today. The first is a user's guide for locating federal contractors on USA Spending. It briefly explains what usaspending.gov is and what type of information is housed there. It provides step-by-step instructions on how to use this website to locate information on federal contractors. And again, you'll find this when you visit the Information Center and you click on the Section 503. So it's right there on the landing page. The second resource is the Community of Practice Self-Identification Questions and Responses. We had so many questions coming in through the chat during the first COP, which was in April, that we couldn't answer them all during the call, and we created a Q&R document that's been posted on the 503 webpage under 503 Readiness Training and then the COP page again. And the third resource is called Tips on Discussing Section 503 with Federal Contractors. This kind of provides some ideas on what you might include in a five-minute elevator speech if a federal contractor is not familiar with recent changes to 503, and also if they need a little bit of information about what the major provisions in 503 are and who it applies to. And it also includes tips on key messaging that ticket-to-work service providers might want to use when contacting federal contractors about hiring ticket holders. Again, this third resource is located in the Information Center when you click on the 503 landing page. That's it for this month's update on 503. We continue to move forward, identify and create resources, and come up with topics to discuss. And we encourage you to continue to participate in the 503 COPs. Back to you, Felix.
Thanks, Sally. So I will just kind of go over a couple of reminder points and updates, and then we can go into the Q&A portion. As an update on the EN profile and customer satisfaction surveys, the EN profiles have been updated on the Find Help directory. That's on the ChooseWorkTTW.net website that primarily beneficiaries use to find ENs. There's the EN directory there, along with EN profiles that are updated with your performance information and some of the responses from your APOR. That has been updated, so you should be able to go there and see those updates. And also, the customer satisfaction survey that is being conducted by our colleagues with the Beneficiary Access and Support Services contract is still going. The survey itself closes on June 24th. So far, they've gotten just over about 6,600 responses, which is a good response rate for this point in the process. But there's still plenty more room for them to get beneficiary feedback. So what we're asking you to do is to remind your clients to, if they have not already, go to that survey link and complete that survey. There'll be a third and final wave of mailers sent out next Monday, the 9th. To those beneficiaries that hadn't responded yet, encouraging them to do so before it closes on the 24th. Results of those surveys should be available later this summer, towards the end of the summer, sometime in mid to late August. Along on the topic of kind of information on the directory, some time ago, meaning years, there was a feature on the EN directory where if at the EN's choosing, you could include a small paragraph or really one or two sentences maybe of text that would appear aside your EN name on the directory. And the purpose of that was to help distinguish yourself or provide additional information to beneficiaries that would help them in making a choice on who to contact or who to work with as their employment network. And the Social Security Agency has decided to bring that feature back. There is not yet an implementation date, but look forward to sometime in the near future receiving some communication about this text field. We're going to solicit your responses or suggest or submissions, I guess, really, for text that you would want to have appear near your name. There will be some kind of rules and parameters set forth by the Social Security Administration. Those have not yet been defined, but as soon as they are, we will let you know. Again, there will be a maximum character length of 250 characters, so it'll be a relatively short statement. But we hope that this will be a way to further assist the beneficiaries with in making that decision of who to contact for service. So the goal of this text field would be the same as the goal of including the EM profile information and all of the services and supports that you offer. It's an effort to try to give the beneficiary the information they need in a manner that's not overwhelming, so that they can make a decision about who to which organization to reach out when they're looking for a service. So stay tuned for more information about that. I did want to give a brief update on the certification of service. There will be coming soon. There will be a formal announcement that you'll receive. But we've been working with our colleagues at Social Security about the requirements to submit the certification of service statement. Nothing I'll say first is going to change about your requirement to complete the certification of service statement at the certain points in the life of a ticket. Those points are the phase one, milestone four, phase two, milestone 11, outcome 11, and outcome 22 payments. Right now, the requirement is that you submit the certification of service statement with your payment request for each of those four types of payments. The change coming up is that we are no longer going to require you to submit the certification of service after that first point at which you submit the document. I'll say that again. It's a little more clear. Nothing will be changing with phase one, milestone four. You'll still be required to both complete and submit the certification of service statement with your payment request. What will change is that for the next three instances when that form is required to be completed, we will not ask you to submit it with the payment request itself. We instead will ask you to keep it on file and have it available for future submission as we want to go back and take a look at them. So at phase two, milestone 11, outcome 11, and outcome 22, you'll need to still complete that certification of service statement, but instead of sending it into us, keep it on file. What that will let us do, it will simplify the payment request process, allow the payments to be processed more quickly, and hopefully enable you to receive payment in a more timely fashion. And I think finally, just a couple reminders of some upcoming events. We have next month's All EN call will feature a Partnership Plus panel where we'll have representatives from a workforce agency, a VR agency, and employment networks that have worked together collaboratively to establish handoff processes. So they'll be there to talk about that process. Coming up sooner, next Tuesday, June 10th, is Ticket Training Tuesdays. Topic on that day is going to be the essential tools for EN success. So please dial in and participate if you are available. And with that, I think I will ask France to come back and open up the lines for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw, simply press the 1 and the 3. You may also submit by using the chat feature. Our first audio question is from the line of Susan Webb. Please go ahead.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Felix. Hi. When you were talking about the update on the certification of services, I didn't hear you say anything about the signature requirements.
This is Mark, Susan. No, he didn't.
That's our biggest deal.
I know. And I read and considered and not considering changes to the signature process, but we can talk about that separately if you like.
Well, but I mean, you're not requiring it on the other than the first one, right?
Right. Well, it's not required specifically for anyone. You're required to certify or make an attempt. You know all the rules there. We've been considering that we don't actually require you to have a web signature. It didn't seem like there was a change that we had to make.
But you were required to make the attempt, and if you could show the attempt. But the problem was the attempts sometimes are irritating to people, and it takes a lot of time. So the issue was not having to go after the the signatures. And I thought the update was going to be that we would still be required to request the signatures, document when we couldn't get it, but only on the first one. The other ones we didn't need a signature at all or even attempt to get a signature. Is that not correct?
That is not correct, but we're going to have a fuller discussion this in a separate call because we haven't finished. You'll be receiving an announcement from Maximus on what we decided.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, well, after that, let's have a separate conversation about it on the next call.
Okay, but you're going to send out something to all ENs anyway, and I assume that that will clarify it. And when do you expect that that will be sent out to all ENs?
I have to turn that over to Felix. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Soon. Well, we hope in the next couple weeks, certainly before the next LEN call, but hopefully in the earlier half of the ensuing month. But yeah, I just wanted to make this announcement about not needing to submit it because the idea was not that is the exact solution that everyone was looking for from the EN community, but at least it was a relief from having to attach this process to the payment request process after that first submission. But as Mark said, we can let us send out our written statement, and then and with that clarification, and then have maybe an offline discussion potentially, or that will help us to maybe in the next all EN call be able to take whatever it is we can gather kind of from you offline and incorporate that and do further clarification or reminder.
Sure. And Susan, anybody else, after you receive this announcement, mm-hmm. if you want to get in touch with me directly to discuss this, I'm happy to do that.
Well, you know, we have a whole committee on it with Pam Walker heading that, so I'm sure mm-hmm. that there will be more discussion. My second question or clarification is on the satisfaction surveys. Felix, you talked about those being out there, but you also talked about them still being sent, that there's still ones being sent. So I'm a little confused because I looked at those, and it does show a satisfaction rating for 2013. So if it does show that on an individual EN's profile, does that mean that EN's satisfaction surveys have all been tabulated and it's just that you're waiting for those from maybe other areas of the country? I'm not real sure as to is that 2013 rating final? How is that working? I'm real confused.
I'm surprised to hear that there's anything. No, nothing is final on the survey. No one should have a 2013 rating. Do you have one?
Yeah, and I looked at everybody else's. They're all there.
Okay. Look at that as soon as I get out of here.
Okay. All right. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder to register, please press the 1 followed by the 4. And we have another question from line of John Flaherty. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was looking at the list of the different rounds that the DEI has gone through, and I live in a state that has not been affected by that yet. Do we know what states are going to be included in the fifth round yet?
This is Sally. I can chime in on that one. They are just right now putting the announcement together to put it out, so it hasn't even been issued yet.
Thank you very much.
Through the whole competitive process. Okay.
Right, the announcement Sally is referring to is not an announcement of where it will be, but an announcement for calls for applications.
Availability.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Stump, we have no further audio questions at this time, sir.
Okay. Well, is there anything that any of our speakers want to cover or touch on again?
Not from Ordaz.
All right. Again, if you do have any questions, please don't be afraid to dial in, although part of me did wonder whether or not yesterday's COP call with the extended discussion we had then would have any effect on your appetite for additional Q&A portion on this call. So I'd understand. So let's give one more, France, if you could, one more reminder about how to dial in for a question.
Of course. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register for an audio question, please press the 1 followed by the 4.
All right. I assume no questions?
No questions.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, again, for calling in. Thank you particularly, Susan and John, for your questions. And thanks, of course, to everyone at Social Security and to Sally for speaking on today's call. Hope everyone has a good afternoon, and we will talk to you next month.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference call for today. We thank you all for your participation. Have a great day.